Today on Real Radio.
And they were just doing what they were doing out of joy. Don't raise your hand, but are you studying for the ministry? Are you in seminary? Do you desire to be an evangelist, a missionary, a pastor, a Christian worker? Fantastic. Just be careful. In all of your learning, don't let it rob you of your joy.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament account. We're in the final chapter of this historical narrative, chapter 24. The last five verses include a promise made by Messiah himself, his bodily exit from our planet, and what his disciples did immediately thereafter. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Saving the Best for Last.
He blesses us with a promise. He lifts up his hands, the priestly act, to issue a promise. Watch, it begins to crescendo. Jesus leaves us with a blessing. The latter end of verse 50 says, and he blesses us with encouragement. That's what that's all about. You see where the word there, bless them, that he blessed them? Listen to this. I got to tell you, this is over the top for me. Words matter to God. Wasn't that a big talk in the campaign? Words matter. One guy running for office says words don't matter. The other guy says no, words do matter. And there's a big debate that week in the campaign about do words matter. I don't care what anybody says. God says words matter. And you need to hear this. I need to be reminded of this. The truth is that words matter to you and I as well. They're powerful. It is pretty amazing to realize, and you don't quite realize it enough until you're a parent. And then maybe when your kids have grown up and taken off like ours, that you realize how powerful words can be. You and I know that words can be powerful spoken for evil or spoken for good, don't we? Did you know? I think you know. If you're a young parent in here, listen carefully. The way you speak to your child, you will create their life. You will form their mind in the way that they think about situations. They will become an extension and, as it were, a crop, a field of what you've sown. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stirs up anger. Romans 14, 11 says, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Words matter. Every human tongue that has ever been created will give praise and honor to the Lord someday. But words matter. Jesus blesses. Listen, he is saying, I'll see you later. And it's important to him that he blesses him. Listen, church, his hands are upraised and he pronounces a blessing. When it says he blessed them, this is remarkable to me. The word, are you ready for this? The word is eulogy in Greek. You ever heard that word before? What do you do when you go to a funeral and someone gives the eulogy? This is the meaning of the word. It means to speak well of them. It means to pronounce a blessing upon them. It means to praise them, to encourage them. Is that radical? Jesus is saying, I'll see you guys later. And when it says that he pronounces a blessing upon them, he is literally telling them words that lift them up, words that praise them, words that encourage them. Listen, eulogy, the word means to thank someone. Jesus is saying, you know what? I want to thank you guys. Gosh, can you believe he's doing this to a bunch of bumbling nuts? You guys, he thanks them. He's leaving them in a moment's time, and he's thanking them. Come on. We would have said, oh, no, you know, I wish you guys could have hung in there better with me. You know, how come you guys couldn't pray longer? Remember when I was casting those demons out? You guys should have been more appreciative. I don't know why you, Peter, you always do this. You always open your mouth and stick your foot in it every time. You always say the wrong thing. I'm glad I'm getting out of here. He didn't do any of that, you guys. Jesus looks at his disciples, and the word is he eulogizes them. He announces to them a blessing, and this is why we use it in funerals. It is to speak well, to encourage, to thank them in the anticipation that their life is about to change. As a Christian, we don't do funerals. As a pastor, I don't do funerals. I do graduation ceremonies. Amen. I do celebrations. Or Brother Mike's not here. Well, thank God he's not here. You know where he's at? He's with the Lord right now. This last Wednesday, Lisa and I, Rebecca, Pastor Chuck and his wife Kay Smith, Richard, a few other people, we were called to a hospital room of a dear sister of ours that we've known for years that was getting ready to go see Jesus. And we're in her room there. It was awesome because she's on the 10th floor at Hoag Hospital in Newport Beach, and the waves were huge. You could see the waves from her room. The waves were crashing on the shore, and we're standing there, and she's getting ready. She is ready for eternity. We're gathered around. We're singing hymns, singing songs. And she had very little morphine. She was very, very alert, and we're holding her hand. We're telling her, Terry, we love you. And I had to kiss her on the head, and I said, Terry, you're about to enter into your glory, girl. And I want to thank you personally for strengthening my walk with Jesus. Your faith, unwavering, you never complained about fighting cancer for 26 years, 7 different types of cancers. You've never complained. You always pointed me to Jesus. Every time I called you to see how you were doing, you said, I'm praying for you, Jack. And I told her, Terry, thank you. Everybody got around, said hi, said goodbye, said I'll see you later, said thank you. And what do you think? The first moment she breathed her last in that bed and opened her eyes before the Lord, the Bible says, be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. What do you think he said? I already know what he said. He blessed her. He praises them. He thanks them. The disciples. You guys did great. Can you imagine what he said? You guys did great. You were amazing. You guys, listen, I was blessed by you guys. What a remarkable Jesus we have. John 17, verse 3 says, this is eternal life. Jesus is speaking. And he says this about them in his great prayer to his Father, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent, and have glorified you on earth, and I have finished the work which you've given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. Isn't that tender? Wow. And they have kept your word. Really? They did? You see, that's how God sees us. And they have known that all things that I've given me from you, really, they knew that too. For I have given to them the words which you have given to me, and they have received them, and I have known surely that they have known surely that I've come from forth from you. And they have believed that you sent me. Verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me. For they are yours, and all are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. Think of you right now. Think of us. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, Judas, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one, or Satan. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them. That means set them apart. Set us apart by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, listen to this, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself. That's his priestly declaration. And they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone. Watch this. It goes on to say, but also for those who will believe in them through their word. That's every one of us today. Right here, right now, you believing in Christ came forth from what Jesus prayed that day to his Father. Point number two, saving the best for last. Look at verses 51 to 53. Jesus leaves us with a vision, and it's a vision that is secure. Verse 51 says, now it came to pass while he blessed them. So while he's blessing them, this is awesome. While he's telling them, thank you, he was parted from them, divided from them, and carried up into heaven. By the way, in all the gospels that record this, you guys, this is amazing. You know how he's going to come, the Bible says, in a twinkling of an eye? That's 18 thousandths of a second when he comes. Like a twinkling of an eye. Well, when he leaves, it's altogether different. This, the word usage in all the gospels that record this, it is a very, very, very slow, gradual departure. When it says that he's parted from them, he slowly begins to lift off the ground in front of them. Excuse me, but that's awesome. Remember how in the last few weeks he's been appearing and disappearing? Not now. Man, I pray I can do this justice. As he is blessing them, he is ascending upward. As our priest and sacrifice, he's pronouncing the blessings as he's ascending. And we have no evidence but this. To believe that he kept speaking as he ascended, which is an amazing picture of the Old Testament offering of the lamb, Passover, or the sacrificial Day of Atonement lamb, that the smoke of the burning of that sacrificial lamb ascended. And what is the smoke in the Old Testament? But a type of the prayers of the believers. He is ascending, saying, thank you. I love you guys. I'll be back. And he's ascending. Acts chapter 1 verse 9 says, now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up in a cloud which received him out of their sight. The picture here is of the Old Testament lamb being sacrificed. It's the presence of God. It wasn't a cloudy day that day. How do you know? Because it is the cloud. It's amazing. In the Old Testament, it's the cloud. Exodus 40, verse 34. It's also known as the Shekinah, glory of God. Then, Exodus 40, verse 34, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting. That was over the Ark of the Covenant. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, watch this, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. This is awesome. Jesus is going up into the cloud of God's glory. He will be received into the presence of the heavenly host of angels in the atmosphere, representing you and I. A tremendous picture. He had just mentioned to them last week, I'm sending you out. It's time for you to go. So as Israel went throughout all of their journeys, the glory of God went before them. In all of your life's living, the glory of God goes before you. The glory of God is there. Listen, church, we need to put on our Jesus glasses and start seeing biblical truth constantly. It's not if it's a sunny day or a cloudy day. Is it foggy or is it raining? It's not that kind of a day. It is a day that the glory of God leads us in all of our journeys. We need to see that and understand that. It's a very powerful thing. It's a vision that is secured in the mind of the believer. Also this, it's a vision that's alive. It's a vision that is alive. Look at verse 52. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. This is actually fun. The word great joy, great in Greek, is mega. Joy is extreme. This is a deep, powerful excitement, yes, but we would, they're like giddy. They're crazy happy. Mega happy. Mega deep abiding fulfillment that nobody can take away. By the way, it's that word in the Old Testament where David says in Psalm 51, he says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. They worshiped him, yep. They witnessed for him, yep. They worked for him. And now they were to wait. They were to go to Jerusalem. And as they're going, they're worshiping. They return there. They have great joy. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, which, by the way, wasn't many days after this moment. And I had to write this down because I'll explain this here in a moment. In Acts 2:41, listen to what it says. It says, those who gladly received his word, that is the preaching of the gospel after Jesus ascended, the disciples, the apostles, the followers of Christ went back to Jerusalem. It says that those who gladly received his word, that is the preaching of the gospel, were baptized. And that day, how many? 3,000 people were added to the church, to them. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Why am I pointing this out? Because you guys, what God does, because he's the God of the living, what he does, it lives and it's alive. And when they went back to Jerusalem worshiping and returning with great joy, God began to move in their lives. You cannot, are you with me, everybody? You cannot be filled with great joy because your eyes are fixed on Jesus and be dead. It's not possible. And they were just doing what they were doing out of joy. Don't raise your hand, but are you studying for the ministry? Are you in seminary? Do you desire to be an evangelist, a missionary, a pastor, a Christian worker? Fantastic. Just be careful. In all of your learning, don't let it rob you of your joy. We see people so excited about Jesus go into professional seminary and they do their 4 to 8 years or 4 to 6 years and they come out and they're dead. They go in with great faith, they come out with hardly any faith. No wonder why Paul the Apostle ditched seminary and went to the wilderness of Arabia and was tutored by Jesus for years. Read the book of Galatians. Wow. Be careful. Be careful. Why? Let God use your joy. When your joy is fixed on him, you will be a believer alive. You'll never have to worry about backsliding. You'll never have to worry about being unfruitful. You'll never have to worry about, well, am I abiding in Christ today? Or did I abide in Christ yesterday? Or, boy, I sure hope next Tuesday I'm abiding in Christ. Why even talk like that? Listen, oh, I hope I'm not a goat. I mean, I hope I'm a sheep. I hope I'm a sheep. I don't want to be a tare, which is a false believer. I hope I'm a wheat producing. Why do you worry about that? God's sheep hear his voice. They follow him. They're like wheat. They produce. Okay? They won't be false. They won't be fake. They don't have to worry about abiding because they do. That's what sheep do. Here's the fun thing. If you've been touched by God, you understand that you're on your way to heaven. Someday, if the Lord doesn't come back for all of us, we're going to be gathered around your bed. We're going to hold your hand and kiss your forehead and say, see you later. See you on the other side. And that joy will affect the world. In this case, 3,000 people got saved in one day. I've been convicted over that one verse this week, putting this message together, because I have, not in this audience, But I have often, in other audiences with pastors or with other ministries, I have often downplayed the fact that we are a large church. I've almost been embarrassed by that. Number one, I never wanted a large church. About 250 people, that's perfect, in my opinion. But when people get saved and people tell other people and they come and get saved and then people grow, what are we supposed to do? Shut the doors and make people go away? All I know is that the gospel was preached and on one day 3,000 people got saved and there was an instant mega church in Jerusalem. And what do we say about that? Mega churches are bad. Look, I'm the first one to say they have a lot of problems. Boy, pastor, pastors of smaller churches will always ask pastors of bigger churches, boy, I sure wish our church was big like yours. Are you sure? Here, I'll give you the keys. Why? Big church, big problems. But let's give glory where glory's due. Big church, big opportunities to affect the world in big ways. Amen. Wherever God is moving, find out and get with it. It's going to grow. It's going to get big. God's going to bless it. And here's what we do. I wish it was just smaller. It's funny. All of us love a church that once we get to it, okay, I don't want anybody else to come now. Right? Now that I'm here, I don't want anybody else to come. Well, you know what? Here's the deal. I'm going to cut straight to the chase. A lot of people means you got to love a lot of people. And loving people is hard. Why? Because people are weird. Moods, attitudes, personalities. Yeah, it's easy to hide in your house when you don't have to deal with people that you don't know. And God says, I want you to get to know them. But God, I don't like them. I didn't ask you if you liked them. Love them. Think about that. We're not going to go to Calvary. It's too big. That's your choice. But I got news for you. You want to work out? You want to get in shape? Then why don't you come with us because we're following Jesus. And here's the deal. God brings to a church all kinds of people. Sounds like the Oscar Mayer hot dog song. Fat people, short people, skinny people, tall kids who climb on rocks. Even kids with chicken pox love hot dogs. Right? That's a church. It's the church. He gives us a vision that we're to repeat. Verse 53, and they continued in the temple praising and blessing God. These guys are absolutely gone bonkers for Jesus. And for the time being, that's exactly where they were supposed to be. Jesus said, go back to Jerusalem and you wait. Notice he said, wait in Jerusalem. He didn't say stay in Jerusalem, did he? Church, did he? He said, wait in Jerusalem. Watch what happens. Time's going to come for them to be launched out into the world.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called Saving the Best for Last. It's a look at the last verses of Luke's final chapter, chapter 24. Part of our teacher's verse-by-verse examination of this fascinating eyewitness account, the final part of which we'll hear on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, because we're completing our journey this week through this fascinating scriptural narrative, a reminder that we're making it available on two MP3 CDs for a cost of $30. Now remember, that's 141 complete messages by Pastor Jack covering every verse. It's a great way to learn through eyewitness accounts how the Messianic era began and about the earthly ministry of Jesus of Nazareth. Again, that's the entire series through Luke on two MP3 CDs for a cost of $30. More than one way to order yours, starting with paying a quick and easy visit to realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and just click the banner that says simply The Gospel of Luke. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to do things the traditional way, here's our mailing address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.